our kids are dismissed to refresh, and if you have your Bible with you this morning, if you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 22, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Before we leave today, we're going to have an opportunity to share a little bit about these invite cards, which are designed to give us an opportunity to invite others. And it does have, like on the back of this card, it has a QR code that can be scanned. That's a special invitation from me. And then also, if a person has questions or they're struggling, this other QR code on the back is a place where they can go, and well-made videos there about issues that we face in life and hard decisions and choices we make. So, in Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to talk today. One of the things about the context is when he says in verse 18, do not get drunk with wine in which there is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, what do we do? What are we supposed to do with one another as we are filled with the Spirit? He goes on to say here, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord, worship, always giving thanks for all the things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to our God and Father. And then this is the connection. I think I've said it before. You know, originally when the scripture was written, there was not chapters and verses were not inspired. It was done in English so that we could read it easier. But this says, subject yourselves to one another in the fear of Christ. That is something that is going to carry over as we continue on in that passage. That's why I went back to it. Because it's important for us to recognize this is about living in the Spirit and how we do it. This is the way we do it in church. And then now we're going to talk about how we do it in our families, in our marriage relationship. How do we basically live out this concept of submitting ourselves to one another? He says here, wives, subject yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, I'm sure that you've been in a church before where this passage was not taught recently, or maybe you're a person who says to your wife, it would not be smart, but you say to your wife, the Bible says you're supposed to submit to me. That would not be a smart thing. We're going to talk about what it means. For the husband is head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is, there's that word again, subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Now, let's stop there for just a moment. I want to talk to ladies this morning. You might say, well, that's not very good. You're a man talking to us. But I want to tell you what the scripture says. I'm not interested in telling you what I think. is best for you to do. I want to tell you what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says, when you and I enter into when we enter into a marriage relationship, there are specific tasks that need to be taken care of. And there's things for the functioning of the family that are important for us to understand. And this is one of those. But the submitting that is to be done is in essence to be done to one another. We're going to talk about that concept as well. But he says here, wives, subject yourselves. Now, I have in the Bible that I'm reading from today the word subject yourselves in italics. It's because it was not there. Because you go from verse 21 right into verse 22, and there's not really a need for another verb. The primary verb has already been spoken back in verse 21. It's not just targeting ladies or wives. It's saying that we all need to do this. And the way that it fleshes itself out in your marriage is like this. Now, how do you submit? You submit because you are in relationship with the Lord. And in relationship with Him, you are acting. I know that everything is not perfect. I know that there's problems in a marriage. I know that men and women, both of us, we can mess it up. I know that. I understand it. What we need to see is Paul is giving us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a perfect plan for how to live in the Spirit in our marriage. And he starts with this idea of ladies submitting to their husbands because the husband is the head of the family. Says, just as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. Which is an important thing that we have to note. I don't think that people are going to have a hard time submitting when their husband loves them like Christ loves the church. If we understand that concept, that submitting is something that is done as an act of obedience in our relationship with Christ. So the wife's role in the marriage is to submit to her husband as she submits to Christ, as she follows him in obedience. There's a second thing in verse 33, just real quick. It says in chapter 5, verse 33, it says, nevertheless, as for you individually, Paul is going to talk about the marriage concept, and then he's going to come back to finish up this concept. Nevertheless, as for you individually, meaning you as a wife and you as a husband, each husband is to love his own wife the same as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. A important role. Now, you might say, well, what does it mean? I thought I was supposed to love my husband. Well, yeah. But your expression of love is brought out in the way that you respect him. You don't try to take over. You recognize that God has made a plan for a happy and fulfilled marriage, and part of that is submitting to your husband. Now, we do know that there are all kinds of challenges sometimes in a marriage. And if your husband is not following Christ, the submitting is much different. It's why the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked when there is a woman and a man and they're brought together. The biblical pattern is a man who is following Christ and a woman that is following Christ. A lot of times in premarital counseling, we look at a triangle. God is at the top of the triangle. You are on one side and your future spouse is on the other. When you and I grow closer to Christ, we grow closer to what? Each other. It's real easy to follow that pattern. Now, it's harder in real life because we have things that we think are important and we want them to be followed or we want them to be lived by. But the reality of what Paul is teaching us here is as we are obedient to Christ, it is going to bring both of us closer together. That's why the Word of God has a specific design for a marriage relationship. We'll talk about before we finish this morning. So, wives are to respect their husband's position, respect that he is the leader, just as Christ is leader of the church, and they are to submit to him as an expression of their relationship with Christ. Now, guys, let's talk about what we are supposed to do, meaning what men are supposed to do. A husband is led by the Spirit. First of all, loves his wife as Christ loves the church. Notice what he says there in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. What do we know about Jesus' life for the church? He gave it up. He didn't focus on what was important to him. He didn't focus on what he needed physically. He focused on the church. What the church needed was the most important thing that Jesus was doing as he was following God's leadership and direction in his life. If, as I said earlier, if we as a husband are loving our wife as Christ loves the church, it's going to be so much easier to submit to the leadership of a husband. But what if that husband is not following God? Well, the challenge there is in your relationship with the Lord, knowing how to navigate that path. How to navigate to do what you need to do in order to restore the relationship, if that is possible. There's always going to be challenges with this. There's always going to be those who say, well, you know, I just can't live with my husband, or a husband who just says, well, I just can't really love my wife. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, Jesus has given you wife, husband everything that is necessary to live a life of godliness before him. And it starts in looking at these roles. He goes on to give us an illustration. He gives us the illustration of Christ giving himself to the church. Verse 26 says, so that he might sanctify her. Now, it's not talking about so much just the individual wife. Notice Paul talks about that at the end. But he's talking about the church. He sanctified her, the church. Sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So in light of that reality, what are husbands to do? Notice, says, so husbands also ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Says, he who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. And then he takes an aside. What is the purpose in the aside that he is taking here? It's to remind us of God's original pattern for the marriage relationship. Because we are parts of his body. Now listen, in verse 31 it says, for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This concept is something that we look at when it comes to a covenant relationship that two believers make together to enter into a marriage. It is something that is to be done as an expression of love for one another. A husband, one man, leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, one woman. Marriage was designed, biblical marriage. I understand there's other forms that our government has tried to redefine the concept of marriage, but really, biblically, it is one man and one woman only. That's the biblical concept of marriage. In the world, that's not going to be true. But in the church, it is true. Why? Because we believe what the Word of God says. It says you have a man and you have a woman. And those two come together to make the marriage relationship. They cling to one another. They build a relationship that honors God, that honors him in the world in which they live. And they practice that daily by walking in the Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to give to us direction and leadership and guidance in our relationship together. A man and a woman, just as God created them. And he called them to come together. And in that coming together, they experience what he has planned and purpose for them. A lot of people says this would be so much easier if I was in a relationship with a person who understood me, understood my needs. God's not interested in making marriage easy. God is interested in making marriage right. He wants you to be your very best. You can't be your very best in a marriage if you do not listen to your wife. Guys, that's a smart plan. It's a smart idea. Also, too, a wife cannot be the glorious expression of what God desires for her to be unless she's willing to come to a place to where she's not trying to fight with the husband over what needs to happen. You offer her opinion, share her ideas, and share her thoughts. Yes, all of those things. But ultimately, God has given the man the responsibility in the relationship. They are the one who gives direction, and it should be spiritual leadership. Again, I'm talking to you, I understand that's not always the case, but I'm talking to you from the perspective of what the Word of God says. If, this is what I mean by that. If I want to have a God-honoring marriage, if I want to have a biblical marriage, I need to follow these things in my relationship with Tamara, my wife. And I need to be willing to be the person who gives direction. What would it be like if Adam had stood up and said no? It'd been different, wouldn't it? But he didn't. He was passive. He did not follow the leadership that God had given to him as a man. And so, because of that, we are living in the chaos that comes with that. I'm not talking about you need to become, ladies, you need to become a doormat. That is not what the Word of God is saying. The Word of God is saying when we come together, we can work together, we can hash out all that needs to be done, but ultimately, who is going to be held responsible for how the family goes? The man is. He is going to be the responsible one for how that is lived out in the flesh. And it should be lived out, as it talks about here, from the standpoint of living a life led by the Spirit. He goes on to say here, this mystery is great. And he clarifies, I'm talking about the mystery between Christ and the church. You know, throughout the New Testament, it talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. It talks about us being, meaning the church, being the bride of Christ. It talks about Christ being the one that we are to enter into a relationship with. So the picture is there. God has given us a clear picture of what needs to happen. Verse 33, nevertheless, as for you individually, this is what you are to do in your relationship together. Husbands, love your own wife the same as yourself. That is a tall task. That is a high goal. But it's doable. Why? Because Christ. Because of Christ, this is a doable thing. The wife must see to it that she respects her husband. So in this passage of Scripture, let me share with you some takeaways that we can go with. First of all, a Spirit-led marriage focuses on how Christ loved us. He gave Himself for us. A Spirit-led marriage puts the needs of the spouse before his own. So if you're a man in the relationship, you're to focus on your wife. How can I please her? How can I bless her? How can I help her? How can I strengthen her? How can I help her to be everything that Christ wants her to be in this marriage? Now, I would think if a husband did that, ladies, you're going to feel so much different about your relationship. You're going to be strong and confident in that relationship. But sadly, that's not always the case. Men, I'm sure we would feel differently about our wives if they were focused on what our needs are, how we can grow in our relationship with Christ, how we can experience everything that God wants for us, how we can lead our family according to God's plan and purpose. We would feel differently about that. The third one is this: a Spirit-led marriage is built on mutual submission to one another. That's what it talks about in verse 21. It talks about a mutual submission, understanding that God has an order and a plan, and He has it for a purpose, as we've talked about. And in that, we are going to find great enjoyment, fulfillment, happiness in our marriage relationship when we do it God's way, not our way. The last one is this: a Spirit-led marriage practices godly love and respect for one another. When you and I come to the place where we understand and we acknowledge the importance of focusing our attention on the other person in a relationship, not on what I need, what is important to me, but if we really focused on one another, then God is going to honor that. And what happens when God honors something? What happens when God gives us favor? When God gives us favor, He gives us His blessings in life. Our home is going to be far more peaceful. Our home is going to be a place where each person is valued as important and significant. We're going to have a home that people are going to see Christ in our life, living out day by day, which that's really the theme that Paul has been talking about in chapter 5. Remember, he started with, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children." When a woman is imitating God and a man is imitating God, then when they come together, there's going to be more of God to share. There's going to be more of God to live out. There's going to be more of God to express in that. I know we've all seen what we have done with marriage, and by that I mean what mankind has done with marriage. Sadly, it's not always God's picture or His design. It's more about me. But as we look at this passage of Scripture that talks about wives and husbands, we have to look at the fact that God has a specific plan for each one. He's not just trying to lump everybody together and say, hey, be like this. He's going to take the uniqueness of your wife, and He's going to take the uniqueness of you as a man, and God, in His perfect timing, is going to mesh you together to become stronger, a stronger family unit. And we're going to talk about, as we finish this passage and go into chapter 6, we're going to talk about why did God design it that way. I've said to so many couples as they embark on a marriage relationship, you are the lab that helps your children learn how to live in relationships. The way you treat each other is going to become the picture that your kids have of how you live in relationships. It's the lab where it's fleshed out. It's the lab where it's done, not just where it's talked about, but where it's actually accomplished. And we're going to talk about that in chapter 6 together. So let's pray.